Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hi, Pia hier und ich hatte Jade bei mir zum Interview. Die kennt ihr wahrscheinlich noch als Mitglied der Band Little Mix. Und wir sprechen natürlich viel darüber, wie es sich jetzt anfühlt, als Solokünstlerin unterwegs zu sein. Aber auch über ihre neue Musik, über ihr neues Album That's Showbiz Baby. Natürlich auch über die Musikindustrie und was ein Liebesbrief mit ihrer aktuellen Single Plastic Box zu tun hat. Und außerdem verrät sie uns noch, wie man es schafft, einen Partner zu finden, der einem eine PowerPoint-Präsentation schickt, warum er dich verdient hat. Das hört ihr alles jetzt in diesem Interview und ich wünsche euch ganz, ganz viel Spaß beim Hören.
First of all, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very happy to be in Berlin. I love it here.
Have you been here before? Probably.
Yeah, I've been a few times. And yeah, I just love it. I love the vibe, the energy. I like the food. I don't know, I'm warming more and more to it.
How does it feel to like do all the promo and all the stuff on your own now? Like, it's just you. You have no, like, before it was all the girls, yes. And now it's just you.
Yeah, I think I am getting used to it. It's definitely different just because in a band you sort of rely on each other, or like you have each other to fall back on or have like banter with, whereas obviously on your own it's like all about you and exactly what your answer is. But I'm enjoying it. I feel like, you know, this is meant to happen at this time. So I'm very happy to be doing my own thing.
It's probably also like kind of cool to have the spotlight on you and just like have all the focus on you and your music, like all the attention on you, what you love to do, yes. Right? I mean, that's kind of, everybody enjoys that.
Yeah.
How was that process of like finding yourself outside of the band? Because you've been in a band for so long.
Yeah.
I can imagine it must be kind of hard finding yourself after.
Yeah, it was initially, you know, it almost felt like, well, we're still friends, but it did feel a little bit like a breakup because I was so used to spending all that time with the girls 24/7. You know, I saw Little Mix more than my family. Yeah. So it was very strange coming out of that and having to learn how to like not be codependent on other people and sort of figure out who I was on my own, what's my sound, like owning my own decisions. And I think that was like necessary, and it was quite liberating to, yeah, I guess like rediscover myself and what my passions are, like just on my own, like what's my ambition for me only. And I think I needed that. And yeah, it's been really exciting to make music that's just for me.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. And I feel like it's kind of like not common for people to leave a band and still be friends, which, I mean, that's kind of cool that the three of you still have all of that. Do you still ask them for advice and like music related things, or?
Yeah, always. You know, the group chat is still popping off weekly. But yeah, we always reach out to each other. I think we went through such a unique experience, like being in the public eye together from a very young age and navigating womanhood and the music industry together. Whenever I'm struggling with anything to do with my job or personally, like we reach out to each other and give each other advice. And I feel really lucky that I can have that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they really get you because you don't have to explain to them how certain things are because they lived it with you. So that's probably like,
if I'm like mourning or I've got any gossip or I'm saying anything, it's like, I know, you know, we trust each other implicitly. And I think, I don't know, maybe not everyone has that in the industry, as in like people to reach out to where you know it's just between you and you can say however you feel and it's understood.
Yeah, I think really few people have that, actually. I feel like the industry is kind of, or like it seems like for an outsider, it seems like it's kind of, everybody's a little bit on their own.
Yeah.
So to have people to rely on and lean on.
100%. I don't think I could have entered the music industry as a solo artist personally. Because now I'm on my own. I'm in a great place. Like I know who I am. I've learned so much already that embarking on a solo career at this point in my life was brilliant. I don't know how people do it from the jump. Yeah. But hats off to them.
And I read that you had your Angel of My Dreams song ready before you went to a record label. Is that right?
Yes, kind of. Yeah. So I played some like demo music to various labels and stuff. But I think with Angel of My Dreams, that was the song where I was like, this is it. This is the first single. This is where I've landed. Everyone just has to get on board with that. And luckily, they were. But I do think Angel My Dreams was like the catalyst of where the rest of my music would go.
Yeah, I really love that song.
Thank you.
It's like, I really love the line. I wrote it down. I really love the line. I don't win, I'm in the bin. You say you never knew me, but when I pop off, you sue me. I feel like that is like so clever and such a good like representation kind of the music industry, because it kind of like works like that, it seems like.
Oh yeah, I've seen so many things, not just from my experience or the girls, but other artists along the years. And it really is a brutal industry. There's so many amazing parts of it, obviously, that I adore. But I think like with any job or with any high risk job, there comes a price to pay with that. And that's what Angel's all about, is that sort of push and pull or love hate relationship with the music industry. And I guess that song was me owning my own narrative. Like, I know how it works, and if I make light of it, or if I, you know, am more sort of playful with the savagery of the music industry, like, that's my way of coping with it.
I thought that was really cool, because it wasn't like the sad part of being in the music industry, like you can't go outside because you get recognized, but it was more like in a fun way that it had like the ups and downs, but in like a really fun way. Did you feel, before you released the song, it's been almost a year since the song came out, did you feel like a lot of pressure, or did you even have thoughts of like, oh, what if they only like me in a band and not as a solo artist? Or because you already, like, you already had a name in the industry, but you kind of reinvented yourself.
Yeah, I think I felt a lot of pressure before Angel of My Dreams was written, because I think up until that point, I don't know, I was writing really great songs, and some of those songs have made it onto the album, but I think I was still struggling with like finding something that was so individual to me that people couldn't compare it to the group. Mm-hmm. And I think the more I was thinking that, the more it was getting in my head. So I'd be going in these sessions like, oh, I've got to write a big hit, big first single, you know, that puts me apart from Little Mix. And just that pressure alone was making me not like write my best music. And then the minute I gave up on that and was over it and was sick of writing songs, that's when Angel was written. Mm-hmm. So I think once I had that song, I didn't feel any pressure, because I was so confident and proud of it. I was like, if you like it, amazing. If you don't, then whatever.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. That's kind of funny how life is. Like, once you let go, things come. But every can't... Time. Yeah. But that's annoying.
It's so like annoying.
Like, you have to not care for it to work.
Yeah. I spent, you know, like, over a year, maybe longer, actually, just, like, constantly writing. And like I say, still making great music. But it was literally the minute that I just was past caring anymore was when I wrote arguably one of my best songs.
I not only love the lyrics, I love the like the song sonically. Like, I like how it starts and you kind of feel like you know where the song is going. Yeah. And then there's the drop, like, and at the Brit Awards where I saw you perform, there was literally a drop. And then it like kind of is chaotic, but it's like so perfect for the song, because probably that's what you had in mind. The music industry is chaotic, so that's why it's like sonically a little bit chaotic, but fun, absolutely. Like super fun.
Absolutely. The song's meant to reflect like my journey in the industry, from, you know, sort of being on X Factor and saying, oh my God, I've made it. And then like the trapdoor happens, you just fall and like drop into this chaotic music industry world. And it does feel like, I feel like I got launched into it and I've just been like running on this like hamster wheel ever since for like over 10 years. And so I wanted Angel of My Dreams to reflect that feeling of just, chaos and push and pull and never knowing what's coming next. And that was really fun to bring to life live as well, like with the Brit Awards performance. I always envisioned that like trapdoor moment, or, you know, all the costume changes and the dancing and the, you know, it's very full on, but it should be. It should feel relentless.
Yeah, that's where I saw you perform first on TV. Oh, wow. Because I had a friend and she's a huge fan of like every British artist, I guess, kind of. And we watched the Brits together and I was like, oh my gosh, like that is so crazy what you've done. And I think that you inspired Lady Gaga's Coachella performance.
No way. Oh my God.
Because your performance was also like in multiple acts, like separated.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, actually.
What Lady Gaga did at Coachella.
Maybe we just have similar creative minds.
Even kind of the concept of like it being a little bit dark at times. And even that is like what Lady Gaga did at Coachella.
Oh, I mean, listen, to ever be compared to Gaga, or for her to even know I exist on all my music would be like everything. I'm obsessed with Gaga. Like, I grew up, one of the main, I think, albums that I've been inspired by throughout my whole music career is her debut album of like The Fame and Monster, and that like two personality thing. It was just so cool. And I think Chromatica and the latest album, she just brings it every time.
I believe that she got inspired from your performance. Yeah. I also read that your performance, or you said in an interview that your performance was full of Easter eggs.
Yes.
Now looking back, I found the FUFN Easter egg.
Oh yeah, on the bum cheek. Yeah.
You have to be really fast. I was like, wait, there was something on it.
Yeah.
So for your upcoming single coming out this Friday, yes, Plastic Box, here's my thing. If there was an Easter egg, maybe once when you were standing in front of these boxes with different people with like wigs on, they were all in a plastic box.
Oh, maybe. I don't say anymore. I like the idea that some things are meant to happen and some aren't, because mm-hmm. I think it's cool that I've set this thing of like Easter eggs everywhere, because now the fans will say something and I'm like, yes, that was what that meant. So... But yeah, I think it could be. But yeah,
okay. I got to listen to your new song "Plastic Box." Yes, yes. Yeah. And I really, really like it. It's really fun, and I love the picture of a heart in a plastic box, yes, so it can't be damaged.
No.
What does the song mean to you?
The song is, well, it's basically about my kind of irrational nature of, you know, when you first start dating someone and you're like, you're so obsessed with them and you're so in love with them and you kind of hate the idea that they've belonged to other people before you, which is, I'm aware, is like not the healthiest stance to take. And that's why I wrote that song. I feel like writing it kind of showed myself that that was maybe a toxic idea to have. And so it was quite healing writing it.
But also honest.
And honest, yeah. And I think it's quite relatable. Like, we're all very capable of, you know, being a bit overthinking someone's past relationships. Or, you know, the song's about me reading a love letter that my boyfriend wrote to one of his previous partners of how in love he was from the jump. Yeah. And that, like, made me spiral because, I'd, you know, we'd been dating for months and he still hadn't taught me he loved me and all this stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of how the song came about. But yeah, I like it. I like that it, like you say, it's human and it's vulnerable. And I literally say in the song how I know that it's like not the best way to think, but I would just love their heart to just belong to me and always belong to me.
But so human. And I don't even think you can turn that off. I feel like once you fall in love with somebody, you will get a little bit jealous if you find a love letter or whatever.
I think initially, yeah, you have that like twinge of like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're the only one. And so that's kind of, yeah, what Plastic Box is about. But, you know, as always with me, kind of put into a happy sort of dance pop box.
Yeah, it has kind of like the lyrics and the music are not always giving the same feelings, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, my favorite kind of pop song is like a happy, sad song where you can dance to it and then you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh shit, that's pretty deep.
That's how Dua Lipa describes her music as like cry. Like, she always says she loves to have like a dance cry song.
Absolutely.
Where when you just read the lyrics, you could cry, but when you hear it, you want to dance.
Exactly. So. That, to me, that's the perfect recipe for a great pop song.
Yeah, really cool. And you said you're not giving away the Easter egg, so you're not even telling if it's true or not, but you said the fans haven't found all of them yet.
No.
No.
No, okay. They definitely haven't. And I think there will be...
Are there some regarding your new album coming September 12th?
Yes, there's some Easter eggs in the Plastic Box music video.
Oh.
And, you know, I might be leaking some things throughout all my festival run this summer.
Okay. We gotta.
There's always something.
Mm-hmm.
I just live for it. I'm such a pop stan myself, and like when I look at my favorite artists, I love when they give you like clues constantly, or I don't know. I love like crime novels and stuff. I like when you've got to investigate something. So maybe I bring an element of that into my like campaign.
Okay. Okay. So we got to be really, really, we got to look at every single scene from the music video to see if we find something.
Yeah.
So your new album is called That's Showbiz Baby.
Yeah.
Cool title.
Thank you.
How did you come up with the title? And did you have the song It Girl first? Because the second line in It Girl, you say That's Showbiz Baby.
So the album wasn't actually originally called that. I had a different title, which I'm not going to say in case I use it for something else. But the fans actually swayed my decision, because when It Girl came out, a lot of the fans were drawn to that lyric and they were finding a kind of running thread with the visuals. All of my music videos or visuals have this kind of, I guess, showbiz theme of some sort or reference to being in the music industry. So when the fans were all discussing that on like Discord or TikTok, I was like, oh, that actually does make a lot of sense. And I really liked the idea of the fans like steering the direction of the album. So I was like, yeah, okay, we're going to change it. We're changing the title. It makes more sense.
For what an honor.
Become. Yeah, exactly. And so I feel very grateful that the fans, you know, almost give me that title.
And it's kind of cool with Angel of My Dreams being the first single where you like have the theme of like the music industry and how the industry is working and the love-hate relationship. Yeah. And then people will always say that's showbiz, baby. Like,
yeah, that's just the thing.
Yeah, just and like that's how it is.
I do say that whenever anything awful happens. I'm just like, that's showbiz, baby. I feel like it's always, that showbiz baby is a phrase. It's the perfect sprinkle. It's like the glitter on a turd, isn't it? It makes everything a bit more fabulous.
Yeah.
So that showbiz baby is definitely my like mantra going into, you know, everything with the industry.
I think that's a good mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
Also not to take it too serious.
You can't. Like,
because,
I mean,
yeah.
So many things have happened, like, as, you know, it happens to everyone in your life. You have so many ups and downs, and especially in my career, I see so many things and being through a lot of things. But ultimately, I am just a pop girly on a stage singing my pop songs. Like, it's never that deep, do you know what I mean? So,
but pop music can be deep.
Oh yes, of course, of course. But I think I just mean like,
yeah, it's
you know, that's showbiz baby. There's always something worse going on in the world,
for sure.
But yeah, I think, like I say, with all my visuals, like obviously we had Angel, Fantasy was based on the, you know, music industry. Midnight Cowboy, we had all the paparazzi in that video. And even in Plastic Box, there's like me on display in this like museum with everyone having a look at me.
It fits perfectly, the title. Yeah,
it does.
And the cover is really cool too. Album cover. And I feel like it's like one big Jade and then little Jades. And it reminds me kind of like a puppet on a string.
Yes.
Was that the idea behind the cover?
There was definitely an element of that whole puppet vibe. And I liked the idea of, you know, like a bigger version of me looking at all these various versions of myself, as if to show that, yeah, like I'm in control now. I'm the master. Yeah. I'm the one that's like the puppeteer. And I just liked, I loved Connor's work. Connor Cunningham, that's his name, right? Connor Cunningham, he shot the campaign and the album artwork. And I was really a big fan of his work. He's so good at that sort of perspective creative, and it kind of reminded me as well of, I don't know if you'll get this reference, but in Willy Wonka, the original one, there's like this scene where all of them get shrunk down into little people in this like white experimental room. And so it kind of reminded me of that a little bit too.
And they all have different personalities too, like the little Jades. So
they
I
think it's me saying, you know, there are multiple versions of myself. And I think the album reflects that too, because I was rediscovering who I am on my own. The album is a little chaotic in that, you know, no song is kind of related to the next sonically, or there's a bit of everything where I've literally been trying all different styles.
Yeah, you're kind of like introducing yourself to like people, what all you can do.
Exactly, and I'm versatile, darling. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I think the album artwork reflects that.
It does. And you're going to tour the album in October, but only in the UK. So I guess we all have
for
to go
now.
For now. Okay. So we might get lucky that we, I mean, London or UK is always worth a trip. But
yes. No, my dream is to travel and do the shows elsewhere. Even if it is one, like here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I love my German fans, mm-hmm. like, so I'd love to do a show here. A few spots in Europe, go over to the US hopefully, and South mm-hmm. America. Because, yeah, that is one of yeah. my dreams with this record and in the future. I think one of my main things I want to tick off the bucket list is like a world tour.
Yeah, that'd be great. After yeah. seeing you on the Brits, I'm like, yeah, please go for it, do it. How does it feel to like be on the stage or thinking about touring on your own without having the girls there? Because it's kind of like a security blanket a yeah. little bit. You can
yeah,
rely it was, on each other.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But I think when I did my first show recently at Big Weekend mm-hmm. in the UK, I forgot how much I genuinely love like being on stage mm-hmm. and that adrenaline. And then I got on there, I was like, oh, like I really can't do this on my own. Like mm-hmm. I don't need to worry at all. I love being on stage so much. I love putting on a show. So it's just exciting, I guess, mm-hmm. to get to do it on my own. This mm-hmm. is like the bonus round.
It's probably empowering too to like yeah. see, okay, I can do it on my own.
Exactly.
It was fun before, but it's fun now. It's a different, you can do whatever you want to do.
Exactly. It's a different kind of show now. And yeah, it's been empowering for me to know that I can do mm-hmm. it. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. I'm so excited for everything that's coming. I have one last question. It's kind of a personal question because I saw an interview and I was like, how do I find a partner who will send me a PowerPoint presentation why he deserves me? That is like insane.
Look,
that's
ask
crazy.
And you shall receive, you know. If you don't ask, you don't get it.
I feel like if I would ask that, people would be like, okay, I don't know, unmatch or delete or whatever.
I but think that was, kinda... yeah, it was a bit mental. That was my sort of test to see if he was up for like a bit of banter or like not taking himself too seriously.
And he did both because he took it seriously. So that's why he sent you a whole PowerPoint
presentation. It was a very silly PowerPoint. But
at least it was
I was
one.
Like, you know what? He gets my humor. And then after that, we did like a business. Mm-hmm. This was in lockdown, mm-hmm. right? So we did like a business Zoom meeting where we both wore suits and we had questions to ask each other. It was all a bit silly. I think at that point, you know, it was quite a depressing time, right? Mm-hmm. With COVID and lockdown. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely craving a partner who could, you
find
know,
the humor and
find
dark.
The humor
yeah.
and lift my spirits and all that stuff. But, you know, you should just ask
I'll
for
try it.
It.
I'll try it.
See what they say.
Nothing. They will unmatch.
They're like blocks.
Yeah. Next. That's what they're going to say. Okay, thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.